Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Let me bring in Tim McMahon, the ESPN NBA reporter, who's done a great job keeping an eye on the James Harden situation. And Tim, thanks for joining us. If I had you on yesterday at this time, what would you have said was going to happen in Houston with James Harden?
Well, I would have said that a trade is closer to happening than not. You know, obviously, I think the trade was close to being completed, or they knew that they were close to a trade, whether it was going to be Philly or Brooklyn. And then Harden's performance Tuesday night, and by performance, I don't mean 5-16 from the floor. I mean, the post-game press conference was basically his way of saying, hey, I'm pretty much to the other side of the bridge, so let me just burn this, and you know, you guys can figure out the rest.
Do you think he knew he was going to be traded? A trade was imminent with what he – because I said the same thing yesterday morning when I heard that. I said, that's his exit interview. He's basically saying, see ya. Do you think he knew at that time that he was going to be traded?
Well, I think he knew that it was very close to happening, and he wanted to make sure it happened, you know. So, again, whether it was Philly or Brooklyn, he was fine with either place. Obviously, he wanted to get out of Houston. Those were the top two teams on his list. And I think that was his way of saying, hey, I'm done here. You figure out which one of those two teams I'm going to, but I'm done with the Rockets.
It's a tricky legacy with James Harden. I don't know if he cares about his legacy, but you wrote a column on this exact topic here. How do you think Houston will remember James Harden?
That it is. It's tricky, complicated, whatever you want to say. Look, you know, with all due respect to Moses Malone, I would say James Harden is the second best player in franchise history behind only Hakeem Olajuwon. Obviously, the huge difference there is Hakeem Olajuwon delivered two championships to Houston. Harden was never able to get the Rockets even to the NBA Finals. And I mean, it didn't work out with Dwight Howard. That went up in smoke. Chris Paul went up in smoke even quicker. Russell Westbrook, his old friend from L.A. and an old OKC teammate, 1 year, and they were ready to both, you know, go other places. And then just the way it ended, obviously, that's going to be bitter. You know, at the same time, it was eight mostly great years, individually brilliant years from James Harden. gave the Rockets a chance to at least be contenders for most of that time. And it's funny because Rockets fans for so much of that time were kind of defending James Harden, who was the superstar the rest of the league's fans loved to hate, hated his style of play and all that. Rockets fans spent so much time kind of getting this guy back, and their reward is no championship parade and pretty much a slap in the face on the way out of town.
We'll talk about the Nets and getting James Harden and what that means, but how did the Rockets do in this trade?
Well, look, this obviously was about trying to set themselves up for a rebuild, and the Rockets did not get the young franchise cornerstone that they insisted they needed to get in a James Harden deal. They could have. They could have had Ben Simmons, but they made the decision that they would rather have just, a historic bundle of unprotected first-round picks. And so, look, those picks, Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving will be long gone, and the Rockets are still going to be making picks that are the Brooklyn Nets. So I think you look at just the bundle of picks and say, hey, that's a historic haul. And I think realistically, as far as a team entering a rebuild, that's a good return.
But I don't even know if Victor Oladipo is going to be there by season's end. Right?
No question about that. Look, Victor Oladipo, why did they flip Caris LeVert for Victor Oladipo? I think the first thing you look at is the contracts. LeVert is owed 36 plus mil over the two seasons past this one. Oladipo's an expiring contract. So they kind of get a chance to bring Oladipo in, take a look at him, figure out, hey, is this a guy that we want to pay this offseason? He's going to get paid because there's, that free agency class has been picked pretty thin. Or is it a guy who maybe, he might not even be there after the trade deadline. Maybe they flip him again and, continue to kind of add to their pick stockpile.
I like what the Pacers did. I like Caris LeVert a lot, and I got a chance to see him a lot when, when Kyrie was injured and that younger team kind of came to life there. And even Jared Allen in Cleveland, he's an energy guy, team guy. Maybe we don't need rim protectors, but I thought this is sort of those, after the dust settles, people go, oh, that's right. Indiana looks pretty good. When Warren comes back, they have Turner, they have Sabonis, they have Brogdon. They have a pretty good nucleus, not depth, but they got a good nucleus. And then with Cleveland getting Jared Allen, I think he's a bona fide starting player who can put up a double-double every night. Your thoughts on
that? No, I agree with you. I think both of those teams that were brought into the deal really benefited. And for Indiana, Victor Oladipo was not going to be back there next year. So this is a chance to get a guy who can be a 20-ish point per game scorer. The Rockets did not consider him to be a franchise cornerstone, and I think that's accurate. But, at a place like Indiana, I think he fits very well with Malcolm Brogdon in that backcourt, with Sabonis as really kind of their franchise player. I think it's the contract is reasonable for a guy who has proven he can be as productive as he has been. And then I thought it was a great deal for Cleveland. When you look at the backcourt that they're building around, they kind of hope those young players, the Sexland backcourt, which is one of the great nicknames in the league, they hope those guys can kind of develop into a Blazers East sort of backcourt. And there's been really encouraging signs of progress from them. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to start two smallest scoring guards, you better get a really good rim protector behind them. They will benefit from having a lob threat. And look, Jared Allen, they will pay him this summer. But at 22, he really fits with what they're building in Cleveland.
All right, let's get to the Nets now, on and off the court. We're talking to Tim McMahon, ESPN NBA reporter. Where's Kyrie Irving, and how does he fit into all of this?
Last I saw him, he was on Zoom.
Okay. All right.
I think that it is reasonable to look at this trade in some ways as Kyrie Irving insurance. And, the Nets really amped up what they were willing to offer in terms of the draft compensation. That's what got this over the finish line. They amped that up since Kyrie has been, whatever you want to call it, AWOL. Here's the deal. Kevin Durant, even coming off the Achilles, is a bona fide superstar in his prime. You've basically got two more guaranteed years with him, and then he can become a free agent. So you have to or at least you really want to, if you're the Nets, maximize your opportunity to win a championship with him. You need to have not just a co-star, but another superstar to pair with him to do that. They bring in James Harden. He's, you know, say what you want, he's a dude who can efficiently put up 35 points and 8 or 10 assists. There ain't too many of those dudes walking the face of the earth. And honestly, at this point, what they get from Kyrie, you can almost look at it as bonus.
When James Harden makes his debut with the Nets, is Kyrie Irving on the floor?
No, because first of all, I don't know when, and I'm not sure anybody with the Nets even knows when Kyrie is going to decide that, okay, this little sabbatical's over, I'm coming back to work. But when he does, even if he called them this morning and said, hey, I'm coming back, the league office is like, okay, great, Kyrie. Well, guess what? You're going to have to sit for a while because you blatantly violated the league's health and safety protocols. Just like Harden had to, you know, he didn't end up missing a game because he helped get a game postponed.
But we're so casual about this, Tim. Like, Kyrie Irving is missing right in front of our very eyes.
It's bizarre. But you know what? I mean, Kyrie kind of, obviously, he's a guy who marches to the beat of his own drum. And really, the confusing thing is, like, I understood with Harden. Harden, let's be honest, he was trying to be as big of a pain in the ass as possible because he wanted to get the hell out of Houston. I don't know what Kyrie's intent is here, because he's where he wanted to be. He chose to go to Brooklyn. He's playing with Kevin Durant, the guy he wanted to team up with. So this is obviously not a situation where he's unhappy about his employer. So, you know, at some point, Kyrie Irving will offer at least his version of an explanation. I certainly can't give it to you.
Yeah, he probably won't. He probably will feel like he doesn't need to.
He'll say a lot of words, and then we'll have to figure out whether they actually mean anything.
How do you think the Lakers view this trade? Should they be nervous?
Honestly, I think the Lakers, and you saw or you heard Anthony Davis after last night's game, he basically says, yeah, well, it looks good on paper. We'll see how it looks on the floor. I think the Lakers feel like if they're healthy and if they're playing up to their potential, it doesn't matter who they run up against. I mean, LeBron in year 18 still looks like, if not the best player in the league, he's definitely in that conversation. And Anthony Davis is in that conversation. They've got a night. They upgraded the supporting cast around those guys. This is after they cruised through the playoffs to a championship last year. I don't think the Lakers are losing any sleep over what Brooklyn did. Maybe they meet in the finals, maybe they don't. But, again, it's not disrespect to the Nets. I just think the Lakers probably look at the situation and say, hey, we're the best team in the league, and nothing has changed.
Did the 76ers win yesterday?
I think Doc Rivers won yesterday. I think Ben Simmons won yesterday. I believe if this was up to Daryl Morey, James Harden would be in Philadelphia and Ben Simmons would be in Houston now. But the Sixers have played very well this season. The Simmons Embiid thing with the new pieces around them, the spacing around them, looks like it's a compatible duo again. And I know it was not anything close to a consensus decision within that Sixers organization, that trading young Ben Simmons for 31-year-old James Harden, plus whatever you had to throw in the deal, would have been a good move for the Sixers. So I think Philly's just fine not having gotten James Harden.
Oh, man. If I talk to you in a month with the Nets, what are we talking about?
Your guess is as good as mine. Look, first of all, again, Kyrie is just a wild card at this point. Like, even if he decides to come back, who knows? Who knows with him? He's obviously an immense talent, but he's not a teammate you can count on. Doesn't mean he's a bad person. He's done great things in the community, so on and so forth. But just in terms of an employee on a basketball team, he is completely unreliable. He's also ridiculously talented. And again, whether they have Kyrie or not, James Harden, Kevin Durant, the two best scorers in the league on one team, the Nets are going to score a ton of points. They're going to win a lot of 135, 128 type of games. Will they be able to play good enough defense to make a four-series run through the playoffs? I will believe that when I see it. I don't think that we're looking at the Nets suddenly as the no doubt favorites in the Eastern Conference, much less in the NBA.
Thank you, Tim, for taking some time. We appreciate it. Good luck.
Appreciate you having me.
That's Tim McMahon, ESPN NBA reporter. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
If I could eat bacon for every meal, I think I would. I don't think I would. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, brunch. My love for bacon is no joke. My wife, who I love as much as bacon, says I would even put bacon in cereal if I could.
You know, I thought that I knew what good bacon was. Turns out, nope, I was wrong. Because then I tried Wright brand bacon, and honestly, I was speechless. And you know, it takes a lot to get me speechless, Paulie. But it was mind-blowing how good it was. And now here I am, a man that's been eating bacon his whole life, like it's his job, and I've never tried bacon like this before.
We're talking about number one thick-cut, flip-your-whole-world-upside-down bacon, man.
Everything from the thickness of it to how it's actually real wood smoked just makes it taste unbelievable. It's really indescribable. I can't do it justice. And you should really just try it for yourself.
Yeah, don't be average. You're better than that. Do yourself a favor and get some Wright brand bacon in you. I'm getting upset. Experience bacon the right way. Wright brand bacon.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Frank Isola is covering the NBA and has been doing so for decades. SiriusXM NBA Radio, the starting lineup host, ESPN Around the Horn, pardon the interruption, contributor, and also works pre and post with the Nets. And we thought Frank would be a great person to have on. Frank, how do you feel about your Nets after this deal?
Well, it's certainly a blockbuster, Dan. And I think, you know, a couple of things happened early on in the season. Spencer Dinwiddie went down, and then the situation with Kyrie Irving. So I think for the Brooklyn Nets, when you got a guy like Kevin Durant, you know, your window is now. It's not about the past. It's not about the future. And obviously they gave up a lot of their future with those draft picks. I think you owe it to yourself and to Kevin Durant to go for it. So if Dinwiddie didn't get hurt and Kyrie Irving was playing and playing well and the Nets were playing well, I don't know if they do this. You know, there's a little desperation there, but I also think, you know, the one thing about James Harden, he shows up out of shape, but the guy will play. He could still score points. And you just mentioned about Kyrie, whose team is it? Well, he's not here, so I can't rely on him. I know that I could count on Kevin Durant. I know that I can count on James Harden, and it's a superstar-driven league, and I think that's why they made this move.
But we're very casual about the Kyrie Irving situation. It's and yep. I don't understand it. We don't know anything.
Yep.
He's shown up on Zoom. He's shown up at a birthday party without a mask on. And then we almost, I don't know, it just goes along with Kyrie. Like, yeah, well, we don't know when Kyrie's coming back. What is going on with Kyrie Irving, Frank?
You know, it's, I thought the same thing. So for the past week or so, ever since, you know, last time he played was against Utah. He had 18 points in the first quarter. He hasn't played a lot of games with the Nets. That was the best game he'd ever played, and we haven't seen him since then. But I'm laughing because he hasn't been around for a week. The Nets make this trade, and everyone's saying, well, the Nets have a big three. They have a big three. Well, who are the three? I know of two of them. I know Kevin Durant and James Harden. I don't know about Kyrie Irving. And if and when he does return, how do we know that he's all in? How do we know that a couple of months from now there's going to be something going on in his life or around the world that could upset him and he has to take some time off? So I don't know the reason why he's not there. And that's, I guess that's obviously his business. But from a Nets standpoint, if I'm them, I'm thinking, I just can't count on him. He's not reliable at this point. He just isn't. He's missed a lot of time over the years with injury. Now you have this situation. So I don't know exactly where it stands. And I think that also factored into it. Look at the games played for James Harden. The guy plays basketball. I don't like the way he handled his departure from Houston. He's not going to win the medal in the past month. But the dude plays. When he's 15 pounds overweight, and he'll still put up 35 points. So I know I can count on him. Unfortunately, the Nets, as of this moment, can't count on Kyrie Irving.
How does this all work?
Well, the one thing you notice from watching Kevin Durant, and remember, he had gone 560 days between playing games. And we all know that he's a great player. But when you see him out there, and I'm getting to watch every minute that he plays now, the guy is so good, and he makes the right basketball plays. He doesn't take bad shots. He trusts his teammates. He is the very definition of a superstar. There are great players in the NBA, and then you have those top of the top, and LeBron is up there, and Kevin Durant is up there, Kawhi Leonard, maybe a couple of other players. So I believe that he'll make it work, and I think Harden could fit in. The big question mark, the wild card in this whole thing will be Kyrie Irving. How will he feel when the ball isn't in his hands? So that part of it is going to be a struggle. And remember this, the Nets have been a very poor defensive team and a poor rebounding team. And Jared Allen is I know he doesn't move the needle. He's a solid role player. He had been their second best player this year. Caris LeVert was the team's best player last year, their third best player this year. Those guys play hard. They're unselfish. They do what's ever told of them. They're low maintenance. So, you know, not having those role players on the team will make an impact. But when you get a chance to get a superstar, it's a move that you have to make, even though the Nets gave up a lot of draft picks.
I mentioned this a couple of times on the show today, and that is you have to have guys who understand what their role is. You go back to Chris Bosh in Miami, Kevin Love in Cleveland, even some of the Golden State Warriors when KD got there. They understood their role. And I think Bosh was just as important as the other two with the success of the Miami Heat because he didn't cause any problems. He said, tell me what you want me to do. You want me to be a spot-up three-point shooter. Kevin Love the same way. It's a delicate ego balance here with three alphas there in Brooklyn on who knows what their role is depending on the time, you know, in the game here, Frank, or what's at stake.
Yeah. And I think it's true of basically everything. I mean, look at you guys. You're the star of the show. Then you have a guy that, you know, checks the lottery tickets. Everybody knows their role. In the great documentary with the Eagles, the late, great Glenn Frey, he was pretty interesting. He says everybody wants to play quarterback because it was one of the band members that wanted to sing. And he said, you know, we have Don Henley. You're not singing. And it's just interesting how every situation has a dynamic like that. I would only say this about Kevin Durant especially. Now, he went to a great situation in Golden State where you have selfless players like Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, but he was part of an ensemble cast there, and they did win two NBA Finals. They would have won a third had he not gotten hurt. And then you look at what he did in Oklahoma City. Now, he was much younger back then, but I think when you recognize that he's the best player and he's going to make all the right plays just like what LeBron does, and that's why LeBron in Miami, Wade had already won a title, but he goes there, and look what he did for Chris Bosh's career. Look what he did for Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, and look what he's doing right now for Anthony Davis. He changes everything. Kevin Durant has that same ability to do it. I think James Harden recognizes that. You would hope that Kyrie Irving would recognize it too because he did play with LeBron James. Now, he wanted to get out of there eventually, which to me is still a little confusing. So think about this, Dan. Kyrie Irving played with LeBron and eventually didn't want to be there anymore. Now he's playing with Kevin Durant and he's not there. You've had the opportunity to play with the two best players in the league and you're not all the way in. And I've said it. When LeBron goes into the Hall of Fame, I'm pretty sure he's probably going to end up there one day. The top of his plaque, it's not going to say all-time leading scorer, five, six, seven, how many titles he wins. It's going to say won a championship with Kyrie Irving as his second best player. Right now, that's a pretty big accomplishment.
What do you think LeBron and the Lakers are feeling about this deal?
I don't think they're worried at all. I think, first of all, let's give LeBron a lot of credit. He's played in all 13 games. He's played back-to-back. You know, he's 36 years old, more games, more minutes than anybody else. He's played, like, I think it's 270 playoff games. So that guy, you could tell that he sees the light at the end of the tunnel, meaning another championship. I don't think they're that worried about the Brooklyn Nets. He's probably a little bit more worried about the Clippers just because Paul George, to his credit, who was awful in the bubble, the last time we saw him, he hit the side of the backboard on a jump shot. He's actually played very well. Kawhi's playing well. But right now, the Western Conference doesn't look as tough as everybody thought it did. But I'm sure LeBron is looking at the situation, saying, yeah, that's fine, but I'm pretty confident I could beat them in the finals. But Kevin Durant is probably thinking, you know what? I beat you twice in the finals. I'd like to get back there and challenge you one more time.
Good to talk to you, Frank. As always, thanks for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, keep me involved in that when we find out if we won the lottery. If we won the lottery.
We won the lottery. Frank Isola, yes. SiriusXM NBA Radio, the starting lineup, and pre and post with the Nets. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Let me bring in Charles Barkley, TNT Inside, the NBA analyst. And last time I talked to you about this topic with James Harden, that was November 25th, and you didn't think it could work. Change your opinion?
Not at all. I don't think it's going to work. I think it's going to be – I thought they bought him in because they wasn't sure what was going to happen with Kyrie. They bought him in as an insurance policy. And now I think it's going to be fascinating watching those three guys play together, if they all play together. I mean, we have no idea what's going on with Kyrie. But, no, I don't think it's going to work at all because those other guys don't bring in the diversity to the table. Those other two guys, they are offensive players. They don't play defense. They don't rebound. So it's only one basketball. I think it's got zero chance of working.
But you also, and you know this, where it feels like KD could get 30 on 16 shots. You know, he would find a way, get to the line, and he can be economical. The other guys are volume shooters. Certainly Harden is. And then I just wonder, what kind of offense do you run when you have three alphas like that?
Well, I think that's why I don't think it's going to work. I think it's really going to be like they're just going to take turns, and I don't think that's going to work. Because, like I say, other than KD, the other two guys, they're not going to, like, when KD went to Golden State, he's like, okay, I'll play defense and I'll rebound the ball. I don't see Kyrie and James doing that. I think when KD got the ball, they're just going to be standing around. And so I don't think, like I say, listen, I don't think it's going to work at all. It's going to be fun watching because seeing how James and Kyrie handle the New York media, to me, is going to be like the most fascinating part of this whole thing.
But if we know this, the Nets have to know this, then how is this going to work? So what are they thinking that why is this going to work in their minds? And we have, you know, a big question mark attached to it.
Well, because I think it's what KD wanted to do. I mean, KD wanted Kyrie. And now I think he realized it now, like, yeah, this is not going to work. I better bring James in here as an insurance policy. That's what I think happened. But clearly KD is running the organization. So I think this was about what he wanted.
What do you think Steve Nash is thinking today?
I'm going to get the blame if this thing don't work. They're going to kill me. Like, you know, and I really think they put Steve in a really awkward position because Steve Nash is a hell of, obviously was a great player and he's a great guy. But you got one guy comes out and says, hey, we don't need a coach.
Yeah.
And now you bring in James, who clearly shows up when he wants to. So I think it really puts Steve between a rock and a hard place. Because, listen, if they have to get rid of somebody, it's going to be Steve Nash. But it's not going to be James or KD.
But you I think
Kyrie is the wild card in this whole thing, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up. Do you think that they're ready to move on from Kyrie? Because I don't know what – everybody's kind of casual about where Kyrie is and what he's doing. I don't know if he wants to play, and it doesn't sound like he's really that interested in coming back anytime soon.
Well, I think this is the reason they made the trade. I think the Nets have lost faith in Kyrie. They're like – and I think Kevin has lost – like, no, I better bring James in here. Because, listen, even without Kyrie – James and KD together is pretty formidable. I mean, they're going to be just as good with or without Kyrie. Mm. So I think KD's like, yo, man, I can't trust this dude. He shows up when he wants to. He's going to do his own thing. I've got to bring James in as an insurance. Hey, and listen, let's be something straight. This is probably the greatest insurance policy we ever seen in the NBA.
How do you feel if you're Ben Simmons today?
Well, I think he can relax now and realize that the Sixers, this is his team and Joel's team. We got no idea who the best team in the Eastern Conference is. And he's got to, like, you see, Ben and Joel got to come to the understanding that, hey, you know what? We ran our other coach out of town. He took the sword for us. Now we got Doc. It's time for us to start doing our job. We're in our prime right now. So I think him and Joel got to take a look in the mirror and say, hey, listen, we let them blame Brett Brown, whether it was true or not, we let them blame him. But now we got Doc. We've got to get our stuff together.
You think LeBron and AD are concerned about what the Nets just did?
No. I mean, they're still the best duo. Listen, there's nobody right now, if you get any fool or jackass on your show today, we're all guessing about the Nets. Ain't nobody going to get on here and tell you they are the NBA favorites right now. If they do that, they don't know anything about basketball. I mean, I got to be honest with you, Dan. I said this when you said this a few months ago. I would love to be a fly on the wall because I pray that they got James Harden because I want to see this social experiment and it's going to be fun. It's going to be fascinating. And it's in New York City.
Do you think the commissioner likes this deal?
No, I think that he don't – first of all, Adam's amazing, but I don't think he wants players running the league because listen, let's get one thing. The commissioner always works for the owners. So I don't think – I mean, and there's only like three or four players who have this type of power. But what they don't understand is when you lose your superstars, you ruin franchises. There used to be a great – you know, people say, well, some the teams won the championship. Yeah, but there were still great players in other cities. And now we're making so many cities irrelevant. And listen, I know one thing. I cannot wait for the collective bargaining agreement when these owners slap these boys back. It's going to be very fascinating. Because everybody's like, well, the players got all this power. Yeah, but they don't have all that money. And the four or five players who are great, they're going to get all they're going to get all their money, but these guys underneath, they're going to be hurting in a few years.
What do you think LeBron would be worth if there was no salary cap?
Well, I've always thought that was a stupid argument, Dan. Everybody's making money. Listen, if we just going to pay the superstars, we'd only be paying like three or four players, and everybody else would be making $1 million. Let's say hypothetically LeBron was worth $60, $70 million. They're not going to pay everybody else. At least now we got five. Think about it. There's three guys on the Nets going to be making $40 million, and probably only one of them deserve to be making $40 million. And think about it. There's a bunch of guys on the Lakers who make $6 to $10 to $15 million. They only got to pay AD and LeBron. So I hear guys talk about if there was no salary cap. The salary cap worked for the other players, not the great players. And let's don't act like the great players aren't getting compensated. James Harden makes $41 million a year. He's good. Same thing with KD and Kyrie. They both make $40 million a year. But if we're just going to pay, listen, Anthony Davis, LeBron, KD, Steph, those guys probably deserve to be paid whatever they can be paid. But then we wouldn't be able to pay anybody else. Because you're not gonna pay all the other guys $30-40 million. You only need those stars.
John Wall makes $40 million a year.
That's my point, Dan. And John Wall's a good player. John Wall's a good player. I don't want to disparage him. He's a good player. But I hate these guys when they get on TV and say, well, if we had the free market, well, we can pay LeBron, but wait. Okay, if I'm going to pay LeBron $100 million, everybody else on the team is going to make $1 million.
What's the most you ever made in your career?
$5 million.
Felt pretty rich, and, didn't you?
You know, Dan, I never hate on these young guys for making money because I made more money than Dr. J and Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell, and they were clearly much, much better players than me. But hey, it is what it is. I wish all these guys great success, and I hope they save their money. That's the most important thing. But you can't ever worry about because of inflation. Every generation. Well, I tell you what's going to be interesting when the COVID tax become due, because not just in basketball, there's going to be ramifications in every sport, because the COVID thing is real, and I think in the next 3 or 4 years, that COVID tax is going to come due. And it's probably going to be what you said earlier. They're going to like, hey, you other guys are bombs. I'm going to pay LeBron. I'm going to pay AD. The rest of you guys are going to take the minimum. And I think not just in basketball, though. I think it's going to happen like that in every sport. Because these owners, they didn't buy these teams to lose money.
Happy New Year. Good to see you.
Hey, Dan, it's good to see you guys, man. I hope everybody's safe and healthy. This COVID thing, man, it's been crazy. And
you look good. You look like you lost some weight.
I'm getting in shape, Dan. I promise that's my New Year's resolution, to get my fat behind. I'm tired of being fat. It doesn't look good. It doesn't feel good. So that's my New Year's resolution.
What do you weigh? What do you weigh now?
I'm tired of wearing all black clothes. I want to wear some lighter colors this year. That's my goal. I want to go in my other closet. It's not all black.
What do you weigh now?
330.
What's the most you weighed?
350.
What's Shaq weigh?
Oh, if he get on the scale, it's gonna say one person at a time, please.
Oh God, is Shaq four spins?
Is what?
Does he weigh 400?
Oh yeah, hell yeah!
Oh my God,
hell yeah! But you know what the thing about it? Shaq ain't fat. He's just the biggest human being I've ever been around in my life. I mean, you've been around Shaq. Shaq ain't never gonna be fat. He's just humongous.
How did you compete with that? You're 6'4" and a half or whatever, and you competed with that, man.
And me and Kevin McCallum said this many times. He was saying that. The first time he saw Shaq, he was standing beside Robert Parrish. He says, yeah, it's about time for us to finna get out of the league, Chief. Kevin McHale tells that story all the time. He says, the first time he saw Shaquille in person, Robert Parrish says, Chief, it's time for us to get a look for another profession because these kids are too big now.
But you see Steve Nash be an MVP with his size. Steph Curry, like, that's what's amazing to us when we see this and see how big guys are, fast, strong.
Yeah, but listen, I didn't play against Wilt Chamberlain, but other than Shaquille and I guess Wilt Chamberlain, those were the only two guys who were bigger, stronger than everybody else. I mean, listen, I played against guys who were 7 feet tall, but they didn't have Shaquille's athletic ability and things like that. You know, Mark Eaton was a hell of a player. You know, I'm trying to think of Mutombo. But those guys, that's like night and day when you talk about athletic ability. Mark Eaton was a hell of a shot blocker, so was Mutombo. But if those guys were to get in a foot race or a jumping contest with Shaq, it would be a no-brainer. I mean, that guy was the most dominating, physically imposing guy I've ever played against and seen in my life. But like I say, when you play against another seven-footer, like when I played against Mikhail, who was 7 feet, or Parrish, those guys were big, but they didn't have the most amazing athletic ability.
You know, just to see Shaq out there, I remember when he was in Orlando and he's like leading the fast break. You know, he so desperately wanted to be a point guard at times and just be out there and running the 3-on-2 break.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, to be that big and that fast is just crazy, Dan. I mean, it really was.
Yeah. Hey, it's great to talk to you as always. Thanks for joining us, and we hope to see you soon.
Yes, sir, my brother. Be safe.
That's Charles Barkley, TNT Inside, the NBA analyst. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
If I could eat bacon for every meal, I think I would. I don't think I would. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, brunch. My love for bacon is no joke. My wife, who I love as much as bacon, says I would even put bacon in cereal if I could.
You know, I thought that I knew what good bacon was. Turns out, nope, I was wrong. Because then I tried Wright brand bacon, and honestly, I was speechless. And you know, it takes a lot to get me speechless, Pauly. But it was mind-blowing how good it was. And now here I am, a man that's been eating bacon his whole life, like it's his job, and I've never tried bacon like this before.
We're talking about number one, thick-cut, flip-your-whole-world-upside-down bacon, man.
Everything from the thickness of it to how it's actually real wood smoked just makes it taste unbelievable. It's really indescribable. I can't do it justice. And you should really just try it for yourself.
Yeah, don't be average. You're better than that. Do yourself a favor and get some Wright brand bacon in you. I'm getting upset. Experience bacon the right way. Wright brand bacon.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
He's Nick Wright, the co-host, but in his mind, he's basically the host of First Things First on Fox Sports 1 and the former Houston sports radio host, Patrick Mahomes apologist, and maybe James Harden apologist. And wanted to check in with Nick Wright, who joins us now. Good morning, Nick.
What on earth does Patrick Mahomes ever have to apologize for?
Nothing.
Making everyone feel bad because he's too good? Like, what? I don't understand.
Oh, I know. You got Kansas City beating who in the Super Bowl?
Green Bay.
Okay.
It's very chalky. It'll be the – hey, question for you.
Okay.
Would Rodgers Mahomes be the greatest quarterback matchup in the Super Bowl ever? We've had Montana Elway. We had Bradshaw Staubach a couple times. We had Breeze Manning. Would this go to the top of that list? What say you, Dan Patrick?
Is the matchup this weekend in New Orleans better than that matchup, even though it's not in the Super Bowl? Historically, Breeze and Brady.
Well, that's very interesting. If they were both at their apex, yes. But Breeze and Brady, yeah, because you would have the greatest ever, and then Breeze, who is somewhere from 5 to 9. So, yes, I would say so. But because Brady, and listen, Brady the last 5 weeks has made me look like a total moron. So he's been very, very good. But obviously he's not as great as he once was. And I don't think Breeze is close to as great as he once was. It seems like Rodgers somehow has reclaimed his peak and Mahomes just keeps ascending and ascending. So I just think it's kind of where they're at on the mountaintop, so to speak.
The most pressure on which player this weekend? They're going into the those left in the postseason, the most pressure is on which player?
I do think there's a lot of pressure on Mahomes because they are the huge – you're a double-digit favorite against the Browns. And so I think a loss would be somewhat of an indictment on the way they played at the end of the year. I think that they put it in cruise control once they essentially locked up the one seed. So aside from Mahomes, I think there is massive pressure on Rodgers because I understand the Rams have the number one defense. I get it. But at the end of the day, it's in Lambeau, and it's either Goff or Wolford you're up against. Like, and so if they lose that game when he is going to be the league MVP, when they're a touchdown favorite in Lambeau, it's going to be 25 degrees, I think that's a tough one for him. I think Brady and Breeze are both kind of free-rolling. And I think Lamar and Josh Allen are somewhat free-rolling because they both got their first playoff win last week. They both played really well last week. And they're young enough that I don't think anyone's going to kill the loser of that game.
Yeah, I'd probably go Rodgers because I think we're looking at the bigger picture of what one more Super Bowl would mean. And Mahomes has time. Breeze and Brady, you know, they're kind of, if they win one, great, but they're emeritus right now. Yep. I just think with Rodgers, all of a sudden you move up the latter, I think, in people's minds when you add that second. Peyton got his second, but he didn't earn that second. This is one of those where Rodgers, then all of a sudden, you know, Favre's only got one. So I would say
Rodgers.
Well,
let me ask you this.
Okay.
If Rodgers wins it, if someone says Aaron Rodgers is now unquestionably, this is so corny sports radio, but God, I love it. Unquestionably quarterback Mount Rushmore that he's minted there. So Brady is locked in. I would argue Montana's locked in. And I would argue Peyton Manning's locked in. I'm not counting Red Grange and the guys who I don't know actually existed outside of Peter King's memory. Like, I'm talking about, like, the last 50 years.
Okay.
That fourth spot's open. Does Rodgers slam that door shut if he gets it?
What if Breeze gets his second?
Well, that's the other thing. He could say, no, it's mine. I have the second most everything to Brady statistically, and now I have two rings. So, because the thing for Rodgers and Breeze, it's not just they both only have one ring. They also only have one appearance. So, Peyton, I understand the second ring, it was defense pushed. But he got the Broncos to the Super Bowl the year he threw 55 touchdowns, right? Like, that was all him getting there.
Yeah.
And he got a Colts team to a Super Bowl where he was the driving force when they didn't win it. So, I feel like it's but what hurts Rodgers and Breeze isn't just the one ring. It's also the one appearance. You know this, Dan. I'm a LeBron James fan, so I think getting to the championship is a massive accomplishment that must be respected, not denigrated, even if you don't win it.
And I brought up LeBron, and I brought up, you know, when we get three great talents together, I think Chris Bosh is as important with the Miami Heat success as LeBron and Wade are to this degree. He understood his role, and every single night he didn't cause any problems. I'll be a spot up three. You want me to play defense, rebound, I'll do all those things. Kevin Love, with what he did in Cleveland, he understood his role. Is that third man in has a really difficult situation.
Ray Allen with the Celtics did it.
Yep, great point.
Ray knew exactly what his role was there. So, like, with here's the problem for the Nets. Let's just go through their big – let's assume Kyrie comes back, okay? Kevin Durant can't be the third guy. He's the second best player in the whole league. He has to be the leading actor.
Yep.
Kyrie's the third best guy. But what his skill set is not at all what the third best – what your – he has – his whole utility as a basketball player is scoring, is amazing ball handling, getting to the basket. He's not a great passer, and he's a bad defender. So the only guy whose game is suited to it and the only guy who's ever done it is Harden. Harden, the only finals he ever made. He was the third best guy. He has led the league in assists. He can be a great distributor. Now, James Harden has claimed the only thing he cares about is winning a championship. Houston bent over backwards to do everything for him. He torched it on his way out in pursuit of a championship. If that's true, if all he cares about is a championship, then he is the guy that says, I'm going to go from being the greatest scorer of my generation and one of the greatest scorers ever to 22 points per game. I don't know that he's going to do that, but he's the only one who can do it. Like, Kyrie can't do that, or else he's just not, like, I'm not trying to disrespect him, but his skill set is so specific to having the ball in his hands and scoring. Harden's the only guy who can do it. I don't know if he will. Even if he does, that team is going to be horrifyingly bad defensively. That team's, I don't think, going to be good enough, Dan.
If Kyrie is being a good soldier and they didn't lose Dinwiddie, do the Nets need to make this deal?
I don't think they needed to make it, but I do think that there is a fear of the Lakers that looms over the whole league. And I think it's like, okay, if we don't have a big three, our big two is not better than their big two. Like, LeBron's better than everybody, and Anthony Davis is objectively far better than Kyrie. So even if we have depth, the Lakers added depth. The Lakers have cohesion. So instead they're going in on a third star. And it is, I do get it. LeBron's, the only teams that have beaten LeBron post-Mavs have had three or four Hall of Famers on them. So I understand the philosophy. But I just think that if you're going to have to get through Joel Embiid, Giannis, and then Anthony Davis and LeBron, having – do you know who the backup center for the Nets is? It's Jeff Green. Do you know who the backup power forward for the Nets is? It's Jeff Green's identical twin brother, also named Jeff Green. And the starter is DeAndre Jordan. To have no front court – rim protection to me is a big problem, and I just don't think – I get why they did it. I think it's a big risk, though.
LeBron's got – there's a lot of upside for LeBron if he would happen to beat a team that had all three on it. You know, just how we would look at, well, he beat, you know, that talented team.
Well, yeah, I mean – yeah, I mean, LeBron's first ring came against a team with three, you know, future league MVPs and Harden, Russ, and KD. His next ring came against a team with four future Hall of Famers and a two-time Finals MVP. And people were like, oh, Tim Duncan wasn't good that year. Tim Duncan was first-team All-NBA that year, and Tony Parker was second-team. And his third ring came against a 73-win team. And his fourth ring came against, you know, in the bubble and a pandemic with no home games. So, yeah, the fifth ring – against this team, I mean, at this point, it's all like LeBron, much like Brady, competing with ghosts. They're really competing with each other for the title of greatest team sport athlete ever, because they both clearly announced themselves the greatest player in their respective sports. But yeah, it'd be nice.
But I wonder about this, Nick. You bring up Brady, and I see parallels with Brady and LeBron, because they got there and they did lose when they got there. Whereas if Montana had six Super Bowl rings, just like, you know, Mike has six NBA titles and no losses, would we have a different argument if Montana had six Super Bowls, no losses, as opposed to Brady with six Super Bowls and three losses?
Yeah, I think we would. And I think that is an indictment on the collective intelligence of the country. I don't understand it. I've never, ever understood this idea that, you know what, Michael Jordan getting bounced early and therefore keeping a pristine finals resume is better than LeBron James at 22 scoring 48 against Detroit, carrying a team there, and then losing. Like, his last year in Cleveland, Jeff Green, second mention for Jeff Green today, big day for him. Jeff Green was the second best player on that Cavs team once Kevin Love went out. They made the finals. The idea that we use that against him, I've never understood, but a lot of people do. We wouldn't do it if it were the Olympics. Olympics, we don't say, well, one guy has four golds and the other guy has four golds and two silvers. We're not like, well, those silver medals really hurt you. We're like, no, that's pretty good. That's impressive. We like silver medals. They're not as good as golds, but they're better than no medals.
And I'm there with you. The fact that you get to play in a championship game as opposed to not getting in a championship game.
It just means you lost earlier. It's not like you didn't lose. That's the part that drives me nuts. You did lose. People, the stuff, and I'm not here to, you know, bash Michael Jordan. He's definitely at least the third best basketball player ever. But they act like he played 6 years. He didn't. No. He's played 6 years. And by the way, they do this weird memory hole thing where an iconic moment is the double nickel in the Garden. But that's a season I'm told didn't happen because he lost. They're like, the Bulls never lost. They did. I watched it. They lost to a team that then lost in the finals. But okay, whatever. What do I know?
You went up a couple octaves there. Mariah Carey is pretty impressive when she does it. That was sort of a Mariah Carey-ish going up a couple octaves there.
Yeah, you're kind of pressing my buttons here. Do you notice, though, something that's going on in the NBA, Dan? It's an odd little thing. There's a migration eastward. The king goes west, and all of a sudden Jimmy Butler's like, oh, I want to make the finals. Miami's looking good. The Rockets play the Lakers in the second round, and Russ is like, get me out of here. I'll go east. Harden's like, get me out of here. I'll go east. Everyone's like, I'd like to make a finals before I retire. And Kawhi's the one guy who's like, I'm going west too. And it's like, okay, well, goodbye. See you later. So it's just very interesting.
Everyone's I'm with you on the LeBron bandwagon. I am. I'm with you on it.
You're smart. It's the only reason I come on the show.
And you're starting to look a little bit more like Alan Rickman from Die Hard.
Alan Rickman? Oh, Christ. Is that the villain?
Yeah. Hans Gruber.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I don't know what to do with that.
That's a compliment.
How's that a compliment?
Because he's a great actor, a handsome man, well-dressed.
He's a great actor. That doesn't mean he's – okay, a great actor. That's awesome. You're going to be – if I were like, hey, Dan, you know who you're looking like? John Cazale. You're not going to be – I can't be like, hey, he won an Oscar. Did anyone ever call him a great-looking man? Probably not. So that's not nice.
Alan Rickman's a handsome guy. And he wasn't a terrorist. His character was.
Okay.
Why are you all fire? Oh, you're like sensitive here. What's going on?
I'm not sensitive. I just thought.
Who do you want me to say you look like? Who have you been told you look like?
Oh, this.
Here we go.
What a bad guy you are. Because you know the answer. Because your guys are going to put up the video. There's a soccer player named Frank Ribery, who people say I look like. But if you put up the picture of him, he has a facial scar from like a car accident. I don't even have a facial scar. And people are like, you look like him. I get that. I get early stage Tom Green. None of these things are true story. I'll tell you real quick, and I'm sure we're late. I was going to the bodega by my house to buy a Black and Mild, and some guys were hanging out outside, and I hear them talking. Like, as I walk in, they're like, dude, that's the guy. That's the guy. That's the guy from TV. And I'm like, oh, they watch the show. That's cool. So I get my Black and Mild. I come out. I'm like, what's up, fellas? And they're like, do the thing. I'm like, the thing? They wanted me to do a Tom Green bit. They thought I was Tom Green.
At least they sort of recognized you.
No, they didn't. They thought I was a funny-looking different guy.
With a high-pitched voice.
Okay. Right. Now we're really off.
I'm so late. I got to go here. Okay. I'm up against a break. You know how this works.
I don't want to be here anymore.
That's Nick Wright. Thank you, buddy. Good to talk to you. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.